You got a Brahma Samhita to chant. This is the Sri Brahma Samhita. And this is a book brought to us by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to alleviate all the miseries of the world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas guru, Keshav Bharati, had been contemplating the name to give Nimai Pandit, who was taking sannyas. And he thought, I cannot give him the name Bharati because that means he's the servant of Keshava Bharati. And then he thought that he will transform the whole world and give everyone happiness by chanting Krishna Kirtan. He'll bring the whole world alive, therefore the word Chaitanya. And he will make everyone in the world fortunate by Krishna Kirtan. So he called him Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And Sri Krishna Chaitanya as a sannyasi went to South India, and there at the Adi Keshava temple, he found the Sri Brahma Samhita. And he had it copied and distributed to all of his favorite disciples. It contains the essence of all the Vaishnav Siddhanta. So by daily studying the Brahma Samhita, knowing the verses, this authentic Shastra Praman will give us a firm footing in Vaishnava philosophy, and we'll be able to support the theology of Vaishnavism. So let's read all the translations first. We'll go five verses at a time. Make sure that you have a microphone in your hand. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. What is the origin of Krishna? He has no other origin. He's the prime cause of all causes. The spiritual place of transcendental pastimes of Krishna is portrayed in the second verse. The super excellent station of Krishna, which is known as Gokula, has thousands of petals and a corolla like that of a lotus, sprouted from a part of his infinitary aspect, the whorl of the leaves being the actual abode of Krishna. The whorl of that transcendental lotus is the realm wherein dwells Krishna. It is a hexagonal figure, the abode of the indwelling, predominated and predominating aspect of the Absolute. Like a diamond, the central supporting figure of self-luminous Krishna stands as the transcendental source of all potencies. The holy name, consisting of 18 transcendental letters, is manifested in a hexagonal figure with sixfold divisions. The whorl of that eternal realm, Gokula, is the hexagonal abode of Krishna. Its petals are the abodes of gopis, who are part and parcel of Krishna, to whom they are most lovingly devoted and are similar in essence. The petals shine beautifully like so many walls. The extended leaves of that lotus are the garden-like dham, that is the spiritual abode of Sri Radhika, the most beloved of Krishna. The surrounding external plane of Gokula is described in this verse. There is a mysterious quadrangular place named Shvetadvip, surrounding the outskirts of Gokula. Shvetadvip is divided into four parts on all sides. The abode of Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are separately located in each of these four parts. These four divided abodes are enveloped by the fourfold human requirements, such as piety, wealth, passion, and liberation, as also by the four Vedas, namely Rig, Sama, Yajur, and Atharva, which deal with the mantra and which are the basis of achievements of the fourfold mundane requirements. 10 tridents are fixed in the 10 directions, including the zenith and nadir. The 8 directions are decorated with the 8 jewels of Mahapadma, Padma, Shankha, Makara, Kachapa, Mukunda, Kunda, and Nila. There are 10 protectors, Dikpalas, of the 10 directors in the form of mantra. The associates of the hues of blue, yellow, red, and white, and the extraordinary potencies bearing the names of Bimala, etc., shine on all sides.
The Lord of Gokul is the transcendental supreme Godhead, the own self of eternal ecstasies. He is the superior of all superiors and is busily engaged in the enjoyments of the transcendental realm and has no association with his mundane potency. Krishna never consorts with his illusory energy. Still, her connection is not entirely cut off from the absolute truth. When he intends to create the material world, the amorous pastime in which he engages by consorting his own spiritual chit potency Rama, by casting his glance at the deluding energy in the shape of sending his time energy, is an auxiliary activity. The secondary process of association with Maya is described. Rama Devi, the spiritual chit potency, beloved consort of Supreme Lord, is the regulatrix of all entities. The divine plenary portion of Krishna creates the mundane world. At creation, there appears a divine halo of the nature of his own subjective portion, Samsa. This halo is divine Sambhu, the masculine symbol or manifested in an emblem of the Supreme Lord. This halo is the dim twilight reflection of the Supreme Eternal Effulgence. Twilight reflection of the Supreme Eternal Effulgence. This masculine symbol is the subjective portion of divinity who functions as progenitor of the mundane world. Subject to the supreme regulatrix, Niyati, the conceiving potency is in regard to mundane creation makes her appearance out of the supreme regulatrix. She is Maya, the limited non-absolute apara potency, the symbol of mundane feminine productivity. The intercourse of these two brings forth the faculty of perverted cognition, the reflection of the seed of the procreative desire of the Supreme Lord.
Do you know the meaning of twilight? You said the dim twilight reflection. What is the twilight? Okay, you can look it up. After you finish, though.
All offspring of the consort of the great Lord Maheshwar of this mundane world of the nature of the embodiment of the mundane masculine and feminine generative organs. The person embodying the material causal principle, namely the great Lord of this mundane world, Maheshwar Sambhu, in the form of male generating organ, is joined to his female consort, the limited energy Maya, as the efficient causal principle. The Lord of the world, Mahavishnu, is manifested in him by his subjective portion in the form of his glance.
The Lord of the mundane world, Mahavishnu, possesses thousands and thousands of heads, eyes, hands. He is the source of thousands of avatars in his thousands of subjective portions. He is the creator of thousands of individual souls. The same Mahavishnu is spoken of by the name of Narayana in this mundane world. From the eternal person has sprung the vast expanse of water of the spiritual causal ocean, the subjective portion of Sankarsana who abides in Paravyoma, the above supreme Purusha with thousands of subjective portions, reposes in the state of divine sleep, Yoga Nidra, in the waters of the spiritual causal ocean. The spiritual seeds of Sankarsana existing in the pores of skin of Mahavishnu are born as so many golden sperms. These sperms are covered with five great elements. The same Mahavishnu entered into each universe as his own separate subjective portions. The divine portions that enter into each universe are possessed of his majestic extension. That is, they are the eternal universal soul Mahavishnu, possessing thousands of heads. The same Mahavishnu created Vishnu from his left limb, Brahma, the first progenitor of beings, from his right limb, and from the space between his two eyebrows, Shambhu, the divine masculine, manifested halo.
The function of Shambhu in relation to Jivas is that this universe enshrining the mundane egotistic principle has originated from Shambhu. Thereupon, the same great personal Godhead, assuming the threefold forms of Vishnu, Prajapati and Shambhu, entering into the mundane universe, plays the pastimes of preservation, creation and destruction of this world. This pastime is contained in the mundane world, hence it is being perverted. The Supreme Lord, identical with Mahavishnu, prefers to consort with the goddess Yoganidra, the constituent of his own spiritual potency, full of the ecstatic trance of eternal bliss appertaining to his own divine personality. When Vishnu, lying in the ocean of milk, wills to create this universe, a golden lotus springs from his navel pit. The golden lotus with its stem is the abode of Brahma, representing Brahmaloka or Satyaloka. Before their conglomeration, the primary elements in their nascent state remain originally separate entities. Non-application of the conglomerating process is the cause of their separate existence. Divine Mahavishnu, primal Godhead, through association with his own spiritual potency, moved Maya, and by the application of the conglomerating principle, created those different entities in their state of cooperation. And after that, he himself consorted with Yoganidra by way of his eternal dalliance with his spiritual chit potency. By conglomerating all those separate entities, he manifested the innumerable mundane universes and himself entered into the inmost recess of every extended conglomerate, Virata Vigraha. At that time, those jivas who had lain dormant during the cataclysm were awakened.
The same jiva is eternal and is for eternity, and without a beginning, joined to the Supreme Lord by the tie of an eternal kinship. He is transcendental spiritual potency. The divine lotus which springs from the navel pit of Vishnu is every way related by the spiritual tie with all souls, and is the origin of four-faced Brahma, versed in the four Vedas. On coming out of the lotus, Brahma, being guided by the divine potency, turned his head to the act of creation under the impulse of previous impressions, but he could not see nothing but darkness in every direction. Then the goddess of learning, Sarasvati, the divine consort of the Supreme Lord, said thus to Brahma, who saw nothing but gloom in all directions, "O Brahma, this mantra viz. Kling Krishnaya Govindaya Gopijana Vallabhaya Svaha will assuredly fulfill your heart's desire. O Brahma, do thou practice spiritual association by means of this mantra, then all your desires will be fulfilled."
Brahma, being desirous of satisfying Govinda, practiced the cultural acts for Krishna in Goloka, Lotus Shretadvip, for a long time. His meditation ran thus: "There exists a divine lotus of 1,000 petals augmented by millions of filaments in the transcendental land of Goloka. On its whirl there exists a great divine throne on which is seated Sri Krishna, the form of eternal effulgence of transcendental bliss, playing on his divine flute resonant with the divine sound with his lotus mouth. He is worshipped by his amorous milkmaids with their respective subjective portions and extensions, and also by his external energy who stays outside, embodying all mundane qualities. Then Gayatri, mother of the Vedas, being made manifest, that is, imparted by the divine sound of the flute of Sri Krishna, entered into the lotus mouth of Brahma, born from himself through his 8 air holes. The lotus-born Brahma, having received the Gayatri sprung from the flute song of Sri Krishna, attained the status of the twice-born, having been initiated by the supreme primal preceptor, Godhead himself. Purport. The sound of Krishna's flute is the transcendental blissful sound. Hence, the archetype of all Veda is present in it. The Gayatri is Vedic rhythm. It contains a brief meditation and prayer. Kama Gayatri is the highest of all the Gayatris, because the meditation and prayer contained in it are full of perfect transcendental sportive activities, which are not to be found in any other Gayatri. The Gayatri that is attained as the sequel of the 18-lettered mantra is Kama Gayatri, which runs thus. Kling Kamadevaya Vidmahe Pushpabhanaya Dimihi Tanno Nanga Prachodayat. In this Gayatri, the realization of the transcendental pastimes of Sri Gopi Janabalabha, after perfect meditation and the prayer for the attainment of the transcendental God of love, are indicated. Which is the highest Gayatri? Kama Gayatri. In the spiritual world, there is no better mode of endeavor for securing the super excellent rasa bedewed love. As soon as that Gayatri entered into the ear holes of Brahma, he became the twice born and began to chant the Gayatri. Whoever has received the same Gayatri in reality has attained his spiritual rebirth. The status of a twice born that is obtained in accordance with one's worldly nature and lineage by the fettered souls in the mundane world is far inferior to that of the twice-born who obtains admission into the transcendental world, because the initiation or acquisition of transcendental birth as a result of spiritual initiation is the highest of glories, inasmuch as the jiva is thereby enabled to attain the transcendental realm. Text 28. Enlightened by the recollection of that Gayatri embodying the three Vedas, Brahma became acquainted with the expanse as the ocean of truth. Then he worshipped Sri Krishna, the essence of all Vedas, with this hymn. Purport. Brahma thought thus within himself, by the recollection of Kama Gayatri, it seems to me that I am the eternal maidservant of Krishna. Though the other mysteries in regard to the condition of the maidservant of Krishna were not revealed to him, Brahma, by dint of his searching self-consciousness, became well acquainted with the ocean of truth. All the truths of the Vedas were revealed to him, and with the help of those essences of the Vedas, he offered this hymn to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Sriman Mahaprabhu has taught this hymn to his favorite disciples, inasmuch as it fully contains all the transcendental truths regarding the Vaishnava philosophy. Readers are requested to study and try to enter into the spirit of this hymn with great care and attention as a regular daily function. 29. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor who is tending the cows, yielding all desire in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept in playing on his flute with blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head decked with peacock's feather, with a figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, around whose neck is swinging a garland of flowers beautified with the moon locket, whose two hands are adorned with the flute and jeweled ornaments, who always revels in pastimes of love, whose graceful threefold bending form of Shyam Sundar is eternally manifest. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, substantiality, and is thus full of the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in himself the full-fledged functions of all the organs, and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universes, both spiritual and mundane. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is inaccessible to the Vedas, but obtainable by pure, unalloyed devotion of the soul, who is without a second, who is not subject to decay, is without a beginning, whose form is endless, who is the beginning and the eternal Purusha, yet he is a person possessing the beauty of blooming youth. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane, extending over thousands of millions of years. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that are scattered throughout the universe at one and the same time. Such is the Primeval Lord whom I adore.
I adore the same Govinda, the Primeval Lord, in whose praise men who are imbued with devotion sing the mantra suktas told by the Vedas. By gaining their appropriate beauty, greatness, thrones, convenience and ornaments, I worship Govinda, the Primeval Lord, residing in his own realm Goloka with Radha, resembling his own spiritual figure, the embodiment of the ecstatic potency, possessed of the 64 artistic activities, in the company of her confidants, Sakhis, embodiments of the extensions of her bodily form, permeated and vitalized by her, by his ever blissful spiritual rasa. I worship Govinda, the Primeval Lord, who is Shyam Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the cells of love.
Cells. Do you know what salve is? Okay, look it up. You know what realm means? R-E-A-L-M? Realm.
Yeah. It's abode, kind of. Abode.
It means exactly abode. So look up realm, look up salve, and you've got twilight. Twilight, salve, realm. Okay.
I worship Govinda, the Primeval Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna and the different avatars in the world in the form of Rama, Narasimha, Vaman, etc., as his subjective portions. I worship Govinda, the Primeval Lord, whose effulgence is the source of the non-differentiated Brahman mentioned in the Upanishads, being differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universe, appears as the indivisible, infinite, limitless truth.
So what is twilight?
Twilight, like after
the sun. Use the microphone.
The time interval during which the sun is below the horizon at an angle less than any of the several standard angular distances. Any period or condition of decline following growth, glory or success.
Okay. And then how about realm? Realm. As in, I worship Govinda, the Primeval Lord, residing in his own realm. Krishna has his own realm.
A kingdom.
Huh?
A kingdom.
Realm means kingdom?
Yeah. A field, a sphere, or province, the realm of science, something.
And then where does it come from? Look at the bottom, near the bottom, yeah. Realm.
Regere, R-E-G-E-R-E, to rule.
Realm means, couldn't hear you.
The root comes from R-E-G-E-R-E, Latin.
From what language? Latin, okay. And it means?
Regimen, government, which comes from regere, to rule.
To rule? Realm. Isn't that interesting? So Krishna has his own realm. Residing in his own realm. It means, and you said the direct meaning they're saying is kingdom. Did you know that before? Did you? That realm meant kingdom, and it came from the word, Latin word, which means to rule. Kurnath, did you know the origin of that word? I always took it for granted, realm.
I didn't specifically ever look it up. I mean, I know the Latin words like regnum, interregnum, regit. Yeah.
So, and the word here that rex, that means king. Rex means king. So regere, is that what it is to rule? R-E-G-E-R-E, regere, regere, R-E-G-E-R-E, regere, to rule. So it's realm, so we got twilight, realm, and what else did I give you? Salve. What is the salve of love? Yes?
Ruchi, I was just going to add that here we say the realm of Krishna, and the Christians say kingdom of God.
Kingdom of God. We say that too. Kingdom of God, realm. Well, lends a new meaning, doesn't it? When you look at the words a little more carefully. Realm, salve. Then we got to your eyes have to be anointed with the salve of love. We're looking this up because those whose eyes are anointed with the salve of love. This verse is 38. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shyamasundara, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. Okay, give us.
Something that soothes or heals.
Something that soothes or heals. And what is the exact pronunciation given there?
Pronunciation.
Is it salve?
Salve.
Salve. The L is silent?
Yeah.
Salve. Okay, go ahead. Tell more about it. It's a
flattery or commendation.
Keep going.
An anglestic or medicinal ointment.
Medicinal.
So a medicinal, sorry. Medicinal ointment.
And where does it come from?
It's come from self.
From where, Akurna?
Well, I'm thinking that, you know,
get him a microphone here.
Like it's still in Europe, in some countries, when they toast each other, they say salute.
Yeah.
Or salute, you know, your health. So yeah. Something is salutary. For instance, in law, a lot of times, law and economics, they say this will have a salutary effect on the economy or something like that. It means it's a health-producing thing.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that it relates to that. Although there's also the word salvation and to save. Here,
hand him the dictionary. I want to salve.
Salve. An analgesic or medicinal ointment from the Middle English or Old English. Self, S-E-A-L-F. And let's see, salver is a tray for serving food or drinks, from the Latin salvus, for safe, salvare, to save. So what they give for salve is not the Latin, but the Middle English or Old English, self. But they don't say what that means. It also means flattery or commendation. To soothe or heal with, as if with salve. Something that soothes or heals, balm.
So where does it come from?
Comes from the Middle English, which comes from the Old English, self.
Which means?
Doesn't say.
And what other meanings it had? You thought you gave one from Latin.
The Latin is a different word altogether. I was reading for the word salver, a tray for...
So that's different.
That's a different word altogether, yeah. Salvation comes from the Latin salvare, to save.
That has nothing to do with salve. It's an Old English, Middle English, Lord.
According to this.
It's a balm. We have to look in the OED.
Yeah. Now let me look up salutary, affecting or designed to affect an improvement, remedial, and that is from the Latin salutaris, salus, health.
Different.
Okay, different
so
from
your
the
original
Middle
thought that it was related because it had the salve.
Probably is wrong, but based on these
so
historical
the salve levels. Of love. So this is based on this verse that, and here's the purport to 38. The Shyamasundara form of Krishna is his inconceivable, simultaneous, personal and impersonal, self-contradictory form. True devotees see that form in their purified hearts under the influence of devotional trance. The form Sham is not the blue color visible in the mundane world, but is the transcendental variegated color affording eternal bliss and is not visible to the mortal eye. So this question came up a couple times while I was traveling in London. I don't know, for some reason, people ask, why is Krishna blue? And you, does this provide a good answer, do you think? Here's the answer right here. The form of Shama is not the blue color visible in the mundane world, but is the transcendental varied color affording eternal bliss and is not visible to the mortal eye. It's the color of transcendental of eternal bliss that affords eternal bliss. Transcendental for eternal bliss.
Variegated color.
So it's described sometimes that the color of Krishna is like a monsoon cloud, very dark monsoon cloud. And when great devotees, sometimes they see just the color of a cloud. Like Madhavendra Puri, he'd see the color of a monsoon cloud, he'd feel ecstasy. And remembering Krishna. The variegated color affording eternal bliss. On a consideration of the trance of Vyasadeva, as in the shloka, Bhakti Yogena Manasi. Where's that verse from? You all know the verse. What chapter is it from? It's a really important verse. You should look it up really quick. It's from the the Pandavas Retire Timely. Chapter 7, which is... Yeah.
It's the Vyasadeva is sitting in his ashram.
The name of that chapter is?
Son of Drona Punished.
Son of Drona Punished. It's at the very beginning of that chapter. Bhakti Yogena Manasi. On a consideration of the trance of Vyasadeva, as in the shloka, Bhakti Yogena Manasi. Do you have it?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the verse number? 174, can you grab the book, please? Really quick. 174. So, on a consideration of the trance of Vyas, as in the shloka, Bhakti Yogena Manasi, etc., it will be clear that the form of Sri Krishna is the full personality of Godhead and can only be visible in the heart of a true devotee, which is the only true seat in the state of trance under the influence of devotion. Bhakti Yogena Manasi, 174. Bhakti Yogena Manasi Samyak Pranihite Male Apashyat Purusham Purnam Mayam Cha Tadapashrayam. Bhakti, devotional service, Yogena, by the process of linking up, Manasi, upon the mind, Samyak, perfectly, Pranihite, engaged in and fixed upon, amale, without any matter. It's funny, amale, it sounds like mal, you know, some kind of defect or something, amale, but without amale. Apashyat sa purusham, the personality of Godhead, purnam, absolute, mayam, energy, cha, also tut, his, Pashrayam, under full control. Thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking it in the devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism. And thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which was under full control. Do we have a Sanskrit dictionary also here? Okay. Give a Kurnath that also. And from now on, let's bring a Sanskrit pundit to class. Either that or have him on the phone so we can call in. Or Mukunda Datto is in L.A. And this is related to, this verse. Perfect vision of the absolute truth is possible only by the linking process of devotional service. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. One can perfectly realize the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, only by the process of devotional service, and one can enter into the kingdom of God by such perfect knowledge. Imperfect realization of the absolute by the partial approach of the impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma does not permit anyone to enter into the kingdom of God. Sri Narada advised Srila Vyasadeva to become absorbed in transcendental meditation on the personality of Godhead and his activities. So this is why it's very important that we're reading these verses from the Sri Brahma Samhita. Krishna's personal form is being revealed to us. In fact, he is revealing his form all the time. It's just that I'm not seeing it because of my state of consciousness and my approach. This is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Shukadev Goswami. Itam sakam brahma sukhana bhutya dasyam gatanam paradayavatekena mayashitanam naradarakena sakam vrijaru krita punya punjaha. Shukadev Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit that according to a person's approach towards Krishna, he or she will realize Krishna in different aspects. And we know three different aspects from the second chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the famous verse number 11 is Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdite. So this non-dual absolute truth is realized in three features. Non-dual, Advaya Gyan Tattva, but he's realized variously because of the approach. And so Shukadev Goswami says, Itam Sukham Brahma Sukhana Bhutya. Those who are after Krishna, the eternal effulgence of Krishna, they see him as Brahman. And those Dasyam Gatanam, those who are performing the rituals of servitorship, they realize him as the majestic Narayan in Vaikuntha. Those who are absorbed in materialism, they think Krishna is an ordinary person. And those who have come in contact with devotees, with sadhus, and who have amassed heaps and heaps of bhakti-unmukhi sukriti, transcendental sukriti in bhakti, are playing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a coward boy. They're playing all kinds of games with him, personally associating with him. So this verse, Premanjana chudita bhakti vilochinena santak sadeva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shyama sundaram achintyu gana surupam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. Your eyes have to be anointed with the salve of love, right? And then we're hearing all about the personal form of Krishna. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpaviksha. We're hearing about his realm, his kingdom. And we by the hearing process, by understanding the personal form of Krishna through this revealed knowledge, and he extends himself, we heard earlier, through the mantra, the logos, which is the word of God. It's coming down from the spiritual world. And Brahma received that vibration from Saraswati and began to chant it. And by that connection, actually, through the transcendental sound, iti murtyabhidanena mantra murta mamurtikam yajite yag dipurusha sasam yag purusha darshana puman. You get the full darshan of Krishna through this sound vibration. Says who? Who said that? That's Narada Muni to Vyasadeva. He taught him that iti murtyabhidane. Murti means form, and it also means difficulty. So to see the form of Krishna is difficult unless you take the sound vibration, the mantra. Iti murtyabhidanena mantra murtim amurtikam. It becomes easy. Yajite yagya purusham sasam yag darshana puman. You get the full darshan of Krishna through the mantra. Iti murtyabhidanena mantra murtim amurtikam. The mantra makes it easy to actually see Krishna, the personality of Godhead. So this activity of hearing Sri Brahma Samhita It's revealing the personality of Godhead. It's Krishna revealing himself through this shastra, through the mouth of Brahma. And this is how we understand Krishna through disciplic succession. We're hearing from Brahma, who saw Krishna, and he passes on that knowledge to Narada, to Vyas, and it comes all the way down. And then when we hear the same sound vibration, and we pramanais tat saracharais, that we also perform our activities according to the instructions of the sages and the shastra, and we hear the praman from the evidence from the spiritual world, and abhyas, and we practice it ourselves, then bodhayanatmanatmanam will awaken to the personal form of Krishna through the process that has been described. So to see Krishna requires following the process under the direction of the pure devotees coming into disciplic succession. Then we can see for ourselves. Krishna will reveal himself. Srila Vyasadeva did not take notice of the effulgence of Brahman because that is not absolute vision. The absolute vision is the personality of Godhead as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Did you have something more? Okay. In the Upanishads also, it is confirmed that Vasudeva, the personality of God, it is covered by the golden glowing Hiranmaya Patrena veil of impersonal Brahman. And when that curtain is removed by the mercy of the Lord, the real face of the Absolute is seen. What verse, what mantra number is that? From Sri Upanishad, which mantra? 15. Hiranmayena Patrena Satyasya Pihita Mukham Tattvam Pushana Pavrenu Satya Dharmaya Drishte. What if you get caught in an alley with a Mayavadi and he says, God is impersonal, and you say, no, God's a person, and he says, prove it by Shruti. What are you going to do? You're going to quote the Sri Upanishad Mantra 15, and you're going to win that fight, and you're going to walk away in victory for your parampara, right? You'll say, Hiranmayena Patrena Satya Sapihitam Mukham Tattvam Pushana Pavrenu Satya Dharamaya Drishte Mukham means face. So how can an impersonal force have a face? Even a child knows better than that. The Absolute is mentioned here as the Purusha, or person. The Absolute Personality of Godhead is mentioned in so many Vedic literatures, and in the Bhagavad Gita, the Purusha is confirmed as the eternal and original person. Person. The Absolute Personality of Godhead is the perfect person. The Supreme Person has manifold energies out of which the internal, external, and marginal energies are specifically important. You know a verse that mentions all three energies in one verse? Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta Shetragyakya Tatapara Avidya Karma Samgyanyat Tritya Shakti Ishite. That's in your book. That's a very important verse from the Vishnu Purana, as you can give the definition of all the three energies. Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta Shetragyakya Tatapara Avidya Karma Samgyanya Tritya Shakti Rishite. Three energies are summarized as internal. External, which is symptomized by the fruit of activities. Got it? Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta.
Is it also in the Dasam Latakta?
Is it? Can you find it? Can you get it? Okay, maybe call a friend. Call a friend. Ask the audience. Yeah, that's actually this class. We want it to be filmed before a live studio audience, but we want to reach out to people all over the world. Anybody on the phone have the Das Mool Tattva? Anybody watching today has the Das Mool Tattva verse because Jayananda needs it. We have somebody calling out. We should have a few pundits lined up that we can call at any time. So we can arrange that. This time of morning, we may see that there's some pundits available. There's some sense. We can have Gopi Puranadana, Mukunshi Mukundadatta, Hridaya Nanda Maharaj. Three I can think of right away. We should get those on our list so we can call in and ask these questions in the middle of the class. I think that would be nice if we can arrange that. Then we have... Okay, you found the verse?
Yeah.
Vishnu Shakti. Could you read the translation in the microphone, please? Akurnath Prabhu.
The internal potency of the Supreme Lord Vishnu is spiritual, as verified by the Shastras. There is another spiritual potency known as Kshetrajna, or the living entity. The third potency, which is known as Nescience, makes the living entity godless and fills him with fruitive activity.
Thank you. The energy mentioned here is the external energy, as will be clear from the statements of her activities. The internal energy is there along with the Absolute Person, as the moonlight is there with the moon. The internal energy is there along with the Absolute Person, as the moonlight is there with the moon. That's an important point, too, logically, because Jiva Goswami brings up that it's assumed that Krishna and his associates are there when we're talking about Krishna, just as much as when you talk about the moon, you also talk about the moonlight. It's logically assumed, even if it's not specifically mentioned. Krishna means Krishna and his associates, just as moon means moon and the moonlight. Yes.
Regarding Krishna's internal potency, and we are also the marginal potency, sometimes I get mixed up, because we are also like a spirit soul, and internal potency is also spiritual energy. So can the spirit soul be considered as part of the internal potency, or it's not the internal potency at all? It's a different category.
Yes, generally it's considered part of the internal potency, and that's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Apareema tostanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhuta mahabaho ya yedam daryate jagat. That above the inferior energy is the superior energy, and the soul is counted as part of that energy. Yeah, as part of the internal energy. When we associate with the external energy, we have the opportunity to associate with either energy, but it's rather inconvenient, to say the least, to be mixed up with the external energy. The external energy is compared to darkness because it keeps the living entities in the darkness of ignorance. Yes.
This is another verse that that I met a Mayavadi in an alley the other day, and I used this verse because he was saying, I gave a lecture on the Bhagavad Gita, and I was establishing that it's all about bhakti, and you know, and then after the lecture, a Mayavadi said, "Oh, this is very nice." He was very learned in Sanskrit. He said, "This is very nice. You're very good, but really, the Rig Veda is the only thing that establishes." And it starts sarva kalvidang brahma, and really you have to understand that non-duality is the ultimate, is the ultimate basis. He was trying to. There was one other guy, and I said, but there are three Brahman conceptions, and I quoted this verse from Svetashvatara Upanishad, and he knew the verse, and he backed off,
scared him.
And it goes like this: It's Prabhupada quotes it in the purport to 13.3. Bhokta bhogyang Preritarang chamatva sarvang proktam trividhang brahman etat. There are three Brahman conceptions. Prakriti is Brahman as the field of activities, and the jiva, individual soul, is also Brahman and is trying to control material nature. And the controller of both of them is also Brahman, but he is the factual controller.
Wow. What a good verse to bring out. Could you make a note of that, which verse that is? We'd like to get that.
It's Svetashvatara Upanishad 1.12.
And quoted in Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is on, in which verse?
The purport to
13.3
says that, O Sayana Bharata, you should understand that I'm also the knower in all bodies. And to understand this body and its knower is called knowledge. That's my opinion.
Nice. Good one, Kurnath Prabhu. The external energy is compared to darkness because it keeps the living entities in the darkness of ignorance. The word apashrayam suggests that this energy of the Lord is under full control. The internal potency or superior energy is also called maya, but it is spiritual maya. or energy exhibited in the absolute realm. When one is under the shelter of this internal potency, the darkness of material ignorance is at once dissipated. And even those who are Atmarama, or fixed in trance, take shelter of this Maya, or internal energy. Devotional service or bhakti yoga is the function of the internal energy. Thus, there is no place for the inferior energy or material energy, just as there is no place for darkness in the effulgence of spiritual light. Such internal energy is even superior to the spiritual bliss attainable in the conception of impersonal Brahman. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the impersonal Brahman effulgence is also an emanation from the absolute personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. Where does it say that? Go ahead. Belt it out. Put it in the microphone. If you don't know it, do the best you can. Go down in flames.
Brahmano hi pratishtaham. That is the verse.
And where is it from?
Bhagavad Gita.
Where? Okay, today make a note, mental note, and make sure you learn the rest of the verse. Brahmano hi pratishtaham amritasya vayasya cha shashvatasya shitarmasya sukasya ikantikasya cha.
It's the last verse of
the chapter. Huh? 16th chapter, incorrect. 14th chapter is correct. Yes, so he gives at the very end, because he's saying that I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma na shochati na kankshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Then he gives this, you know, what is the basis of the Brahman, and it's Krishna. Correct? So this is also a very powerful verse. Srila Prabhupada used it frequently. The Param Purusha cannot be anyone except Sri Krishna himself, as will be explained in the later shlokas. Why is it important to establish this? Why is it important to understand that the Param Purusha cannot be anyone except Sri Krishna himself? Is it just academic, or is this important? And if so, why is it important? To establish on the basis of Shastra and logic that Sri Krishna is the Param Purusha. What difference does it make? Any path's the same, right? Doesn't matter. It's all spiritual. Why is it important? Akurinath Prabhu?
You do run into a lot of devotees, like from different sampradayas, Sri Vaishnavas and things, who want to establish that actually Narayan is the Parampurusha and that Krishna is the eighth avatar or something like that. And then they finally say, oh, well, you're a Gaudiya Vaishnava. I meet them from time to time. Oh, we'll just agree to disagree about that. But
so why is it important to us to establish that Krishna is the Parama Purusha? What difference does it make to us to understand through Shastra and logic that Krishna is the Parama Purusha?
Well, he's the object of our worship. Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
So why does it matter, yeah?
The result we want is to attain to Krishna. And one of the verses, Yanti Deva Vratan, like we worship the different devas, we get the different results. And worship of Krishna is the ultimate, and we want the ultimate result, okay, to be with Krishna.
So your argument is if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. So if you know where you're going and you can fix your mind there, then you can go there. Yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yanti patir vrata bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti mam yajito mi mam. That if your mind goes somewhere else besides Krishna, then you'll go there, right? Yanti deva vrata devan. If that's your intention to go somewhere else. So I'm thinking that your theory is that once you understand something, in other words, if someone comes in here, I have no desire to go to Hawaii. But if someone comes in and starts talking to me during prasadam and says, Vaish, you got to go to Hawaii. I mean, the temperature never changes. It's 72 degrees every day. And, you know, there's papayas as big as your head. And, living is easy. And you can just be Krishna conscious all day and happy. And you don't have to make money. You can live on the beach. And everything that after a while, I go, I'm going to Hawaii. Why are you going to Hawaii? Well, you know, there's pineapples and there's their papayas as big as my head, and I don't have to work, and so on. So what we hear about, right? Jivas are tatasta, and if they hear about certain things, then they'll want to go there. That's why people advertise. Yes. So that's you're saying if we hear about Krishna, if we understand Krishna, then we'll want to go to him. Something like that, right? Is that your theory? You want to explicate it more?
Like,
why is it important that we understand that Krishna is the Param Purush?
There is one English quotation that comes to mind: "The enemy of the best is the second best."
Can you unpack that?
So, there are several ways we can get deluded. There are so-called false teachers, or the example given is putanas, who lead us away from Krishna, or who lead us away from the right path. And if we don't establish what is the best, we'll get deluded by the second best, or we'll settle for the second best.
Nice. You're building a good case here. Karuna?
I was just going to, my question is that the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of descriptions of devotees, like Prahlad Maharaj or Hanuman is there, or, different devotees who are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in other avatars, other manifestations other than Krishna, as Shankarshan or Nrisimhadev or so many. Prishnigarbha, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped him as this, in this four-armed form. Even though we worship only Krishna, we also have the highest respect for devotees who have a relationship with him in this other way.
Thank you for this public relation announcement. But my point I'm trying to get to is, why is it important for us to have a clear understanding of, I'll give you a clue for a place where this is described, of the Siddhanta. Why is it important to have this discussion, detailed discussion? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did it with Vyankatabhata. Vyankatabhata was worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, and they had a long discussion about the Siddhanta. And that Siddhanta happened to be about why Krishna is the Parama Purusha. And why is that important? Can you give a quotation from our Shastra, our Vaishnava Shastra, why it's important to us to establish that Krishna is the Parama Purusha? I'll tell you one thing Prabhupada said. He said that the problem with my students is they don't believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you believe Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it changes a lot of things. I'm thinking of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Kaviraj Goswami goes at great lengths to discuss why Lord Chaitanya is the Parama Purush. And he says, some people say Shri Akshay Vishnu is supreme, some people say other avatars are supreme. That's all of these are true. They can't not be true because Krishna is the absolute truth. But why is it important to Kaviraj Goswami, according to his own words, that he understands that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that Param Purush? He says, Siddhanta Bolya Chitta Nakara Alash, Iha Hoite Krishne Lagi Sudrid Manash. That unless you understand the Siddhanta, and then he says, don't be lazy about it. Go into great length. And Prabhupada said, discuss thoroughly threadbare from all angles of seeing. Siddhanta means not just what something is, it also means what it isn't. It means you're very precise in your discussions so that you can come, supporting through logic and through Shastra, understand Krishna is the absolute truth. And what's the end result? Sudrid Manash. He said, my mind becomes completely fixed in worshiping Krishna. Faith means where you put your heart. And if you think, oh, well, maybe Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, maybe he isn't. Maybe this path is okay, and maybe some other path is okay too. How much will you dedicate your life? How much will you fix your mind if you think, well, maybe this is good, or maybe watching television is okay too. It's just as good as chanting japa or doing something else. Then what will you do? Goes back to your argument that whatever you're fixing your mind on, you're going to go there. And so the point is, Kaviraj Goswami says, when I know the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then I want to go there. I clearly want to go there. I want to know. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartade iti matva vajante imam buddha bhava samanvita. With all someone's heart, they worship Krishna when they have this clear understanding that he's the source of everything. He's the origin. Why go anywhere else? The mind wants some, it lacks superior dictation and it wants to go here, there, and everywhere else. But when we get the clear directive of who's the master and where we're going and we're able to point there, then we'll become happy and successful and we'll attain the goal. The clearer we see the goal, as when Dronacharya was teaching the Pandava brothers how to shoot, and each one of them lined up, and maybe there were some others too who were shooting at a target that was far above their heads, and it was a bird, was it? It was some kind of image of a bird that was way up high, and he asked each one, you know, what do you see? And they said, oh,
they were to shoot the eye of the bird.
And so each one was interviewed before shooting, and each one said, he said, what do you see? And I see, well, I see you, and I see the bow, and I see the sky. And he said, okay, next. And then they say, I just see the tree, and I see the branches, and I see the wings, and then I see the bird, something like this. And he said, okay, not good enough. And he kept going, and then he said, Arjuna, what do you see? Just the eye. That's it. Huh? Yeah, so he said, I do you see anything else? I don't see anything else. I just see the eye. And he said, okay, shoot. And so having this Siddhanta, knowing Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's why we're hearing Sri Brahma Samhita. It's not just an exercise for the tongue, but it's actually a way of developing love for Krishna, exclusive love for Krishna. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochinena santaksare varadiyesha vilokiyanti. We have to be fortified with this knowledge and renunciation, because if you don't have knowledge, you won't know what to do. And if you don't have renunciation, even if you know what to do, you won't be able to do it. So, yes. You got the Dasmul Tafa, you called upon it?
This gentleman also got it for me too.
Thank you very much. Now we know we
but
have.
It's actually more than just all the shaktis.
Education's not about knowing everything, it's knowing how to find everything. Okay, speak right into the microphone and tell us what you've found and who found it and how it all happened.
This may have all the conclusions of Gaudiya Vaishnava in one verse, actually.
Okay.
So
I think we hit on something here.
Yeah. Amnaya praha tatvam harim iha paramam sarva shaktim rasabdim. Tadvinanang sangs cha jivan prakriti kavalitang tadvi muktam cha bhavat. Beda beda prakasham shakalam api hare sadhanam shudabhaktim sadyam tat pritim eveti upadishyati janan gora chandra savayam saha. So it says there's 10 points in this the verse. The first one is Praman. The teachings of the Vedas received through Guru Parampara are known as Amnaya, the infallible evidence of the Vedas of the Smriti Shastras, headed by the Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as evidence such as direct sense perception, Pratyaksha, that concur with the guidance of the Vedas, are all accepted as pramana, evidence. The pramana establishes the following prameyas, fundamental truths. Number two, parama tattva. Sri Hari alone is the supreme absolute truth. Number three, sarva shaktiman. Sri Krishna is the possessor of all potency. Number four, Akila Rasamrita Sindhu. He is the ocean of nectarian mellows. Number five, Bibi Nang Shangs Tattva. Both the Mukta, liberated, and Badha, conditioned, jivas are his eternal separated parts and parcels. Number six, Baddha Jivas. Conditioned souls are subject to the control and covering of Maya. Mukta Jivas. Liberated souls are free from Maya. Number eight, Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. The entire universe consisting of the consciousness, chit, and unconsciousness, achit, is Sri Hari's Achintya Beda Beda Prakash. That is to say, it is his manifestation, which is inconceivably both different and non-different from him. Number nine, Shuddha Bhakti. Pure devotional service is the only practice, sadhana, to attain perfection. And number ten, Krishna Priti. Transcendental love and affection for Krishna is the one and only final object of attainment. Sadhya Vashtu. It's from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Jiva Dharma.
Could you please send that verse to Shraddha? Arrange to send it to her?
It's her phone.
Oh, didn't you already have it? So then I think that's one of the good, nice e-gifts we can send out to everybody who participated in the Bhaktivinoda Thakur Monthly Sankirtan Festival. And how did you... Who found it? You found it or you found it?
We both found it.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much. Das Mula. You searched where? You Googled it. Wow. Okay. So we're continuing with the Sri Brahma Samhita. Could we see the verse, please? Siddhanta Bolya Chitta Nakara Alash. Please bring a first... Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi 1. Siddhanta Bhulya Chitta Nakara Alash. Just grab the Adi 1 and in the flash of a lightning, look up that verse. Siddhanta Bhulya Chitta Nakara Alash. So, we're on text number 39 on page 76. I worship Govinda, the Prime of the Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna and the different avatars in the world in the forms of Rama, Nrisimha, Vamana, etc., as his subjective portions. 40. I worship Govinda, the Prime of the Lord, whose effulgence is the source of the non-differentiated Brahman, mentioned in the Upanishads. Being differentiated from the infinity of glories of the mundane universe appears as an indivisible, infinite, limitless truth. Next, 41 through 45. Who's up?
Hi.
Go ahead.
I worship Govinda, the Prime.
Microphone.
I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity in the form of the support of all existence, whose external potency embodies the threefold mundane qualities, namely sattva, rajas, and tamas, and diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose glory ever triumphantly dominates the mundane world by the activity of his own pastimes, being reflected in the mind of recollecting souls as the transcendental entity of ever blissful cognitive rasa. Lowest of all is located Devi Dhamma, mundane world. Next above it is Mahesha Dhamma, abode of Mahesha. Above Mahesha Dhamma is placed Hari Dhamma, abode of Hari. And above them all is located Krishna's own realm, named Goloka. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who has allotted their respective authorities to the rulers of those graded realms. The external potency Maya, who is of the nature of the shadow of the Chit potency, is worshipped by all people as Durga, the creating, preserving, and destroying agency of this mundane world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in accordance with whose will Durga conducts herself. Just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, but yet the effect curd is neither same as nor different from its cause, namely milk, so I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the Strait of Shambhu is a transformation for the performance of the work of destruction.
At one point, there's a purport in the Bhagavad Gita in which Prabhupada says that these descriptions of the personality of Godhead in his realm should become fascinating to us, and we should desire to go there by hearing about them. And also, in this first canto, second chapter, in the verse Shrinvatam Swakat Kata Krishna, Srila Prabhupada says that he says the Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord and has thus become eager to hear about him, the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to him. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into his kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead, but anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. So developing a desire to go back to Godhead is we're hearing about Krishna in the spiritual world, and this should increase our desire to go back to Godhead. If we hear about something else, we'll desire to go there. That's how we associate whatever sound vibration we associate with. Our mind will go there. It'll fly to that place and we'll become attracted. So when we hear about Krishna's realm, then we become attracted. Okay.
The light of one candle being communicated to other candles, although it burns separately in them, is the same in its quality. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who exhibits himself equally in the same mobile manner in his various manifestations. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who, assuming his own great subjective form, who bears the name of Shesha, replete with the all-accommodating potency, and reposing in the causal ocean with the infinity of the world in the pores of his hair, enjoys creative sleep, yoga nidra. Brahma and other lords of the mundane worlds, appearing from the pores of hair of Mahavishnu, remain alive as long as the duration of one exhalation of the latter Mahavishnu. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whose subjective personality Mahavishnu is the portion of portion. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom the separated subjective portion Brahma receives his power for the regulation of the mundane world. Just as the sun manifests some portion of his own light in all the effulgent gems that bear the names of Surya, Kanta, etc. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, whose lotus feet are always held by Ganesha upon the pair of tumuli protruding from his elephant head in order to obtain power for his function of destroying all the obstacles on the path of progress of the three worlds.
The three worlds are composed of nine elements, namely fire, earth, ether, water, air, direction, time, soul, and mind. I adore the primal Lord Govinda, from whom they originate, in whom they exist, and into whom they enter at the time of universal cataclysm. The sun, who is the king of all the planets, full of infinite effulgence, the image of the good soul, is as the eye of this world. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, in pursuance of whose order the sun performs his journey mounting the wheel of time. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, by whose conferred power are maintained the manifested potencies that are found to exist of all virtues, all vices, the Vedas, the penances, and all jivas, from Brahma to the meanest insect. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who burns up to their roots all fruitive activities of those who are imbued with devotion and impartially ordains for each the due enjoyment of the fruits of one's activities, of all those who walk in the path of work in accordance with the chain of their previously performed works, no less in the case of the tiny insect that bears the name of Indragopa than in that of Indra, king of the Devas. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, the meditators of whom, by meditating upon him under the sway of wrath, amorous passion, natural friendly love, fear, parental affection, delusion, reverence and willing service, attain to bodily forms befitting the nature of their contemplation.
I worship the transcendental seat known as Shweta Deepa, where as loving consorts, the Lakshmis in their unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover, where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is a purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate is a dance, the flute is a favorite attendant, effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty, where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk, where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever-present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the equality of passing away even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka, only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. On hearing these hymns containing the essence of the truth, the Supreme Lord Krishna said to Brahma, Brahma, if you experience the inclination to create offspring by being endowed with the real knowledge of the glory of Godhead, listen, my beloved, from me to this sign set forth in the following five shlokas. When the pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition and service, bhakti, super excellent, unalloyed devotion characterized by love for Godhead is awakened towards Krishna, the beloved of all souls.
Purport. Real knowledge is nothing but knowledge of one's relationship to the Supreme, to the Absolute. Real knowledge is identical with the knowledge of subjective natures of chit, animate, achit, inanimate, and Krishna and their mutual relationships. Here, mental speculation is not alluded to, since that is antagonistic to service, bhakti. The knowledge that embraces only the first seven of the ten basic principles, dash mul, is the knowledge of relationship. The substantive nature of the spiritual function, abhideya, inculcated by the science of devotion, hearing, chanting, meditation, tending his lotus feet, worshipping by rituals, making prostrations, doing menial service, practicing friendship, and surrendering oneself are identical with practicing the search for Krishna. It is specifically described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Devotion, bhakti, characterized by love for Krishna, for Godhead, makes her appearance by being awakened by such knowledge and practice. Such devotion is super excellent bhakti and is no other than the final object of attainment of all spiritual endeavor of the individual soul, jiva. So what did you hear from that purport just now? That stuck with you, that's going to help you, and that's going to make your service better. Yes. Yes.
Mental speculation is antagonistic to bhakti.
Mental speculation is antagonistic to attainment of devotional service, and where does it say that in the Shastra? Yes.
I'm not unable
you can pass the other mic up here. There's more.
Collected, but there is one verse in Bhagavad Gita which says, who is free from mental speculation and some verse is there. I'm unable to.
You have a fragment. That's good. Please follow it. Find it. Then it will solidify it in your mind.
Okay.
Grab a Bhagavad Gita. Get that for us. What other shastra do you have? Anyone? You were going to say you had something.
It's a different point.
A different point. Okay, I'll just say, Gyane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva. This verse from Brahma's prayers is well known because first of all because Brahma spoke it, and second of all because it's in the Bhagavatam, and also because Lord Chaitanya accepted it out of the list of what Ramananda Roy was mentioning as the process for understanding the Absolute Truth perfectly. It was the first thing that he accepted out of a long list. In this verse, Jnani prayasa mudapasyana manta eva jivanti san mukaditam bhavadiya vartam. Are you looking it up? It's important. Gyane priyasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiyavartam stane stita shutigatam tanavan manobir ye priyaso jita jito pyasi taistrilokyam. This verse establishes really our process of bhakti, and that is that give up mental speculation and hear and chant in the association of pure devotees, render service. Then by that process, Krishna, who is unconquerable, becomes conquered by the devotee.
Okay.
And what point do you had from this purport we just read?
The substantive nature of the spiritual function.
Without the microphone, you're just doing the Madanga. With the microphone, you're doing the Brihat Madanga.
The substantive nature of the spiritual function, Abhideya, inculcated by the signs of devotion, hearing, chanting, meditation, tending his holy feet, worshipping by rituals, making prostrations, doing menial service, practicing friendship and surrendering oneself are identical with practicing the search for Krishna. So the last point, practicing the search for Krishna, really felt.
Why did you like that?
I felt sometimes when I'm doing any service, I can lose track of why I'm doing it, or what is the reason, or probably have some distaste for it. But by meditating on that, this is the search for Krishna, probably I'll develop more taste for service.
Thank you. Another point?
Getting back to the same verse. Now, I still haven't remembered the Sanskrit, but I remembered more of English translation.
Good.
The translation is that one who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the fruit of activity and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, he certainly, who is equal to all living entities, he certainly reaches me.
You sure did remember the English. Bravo. Did you find it in the 11th chapter? Is it in the 11th chapter near the end? 10th? No.
I'm thinking of maybe another verse. There's one.
Makarmakrima Paramo.
Oh, Makarmakrima, is that it?
Yeah.
Makarmakrima Paramo?
That's the verse. Go ahead, belt it out.
Mat karma krun mat paramo mat bhaktaha sangavarjitaha nirvairaha sarva bhuteshu yaha samameti pandava.
Bravo. Was that on your Bhakti Shastri test? Then we offer our 1008 obeisances to Srivas Pandit Prabhu for bringing us this nectarian beverage. Thank you. Good. What a beautiful verse. And why did you bring that verse up again? Bring it back into context.
Because you asked about mental speculation.
Yeah.
And this verse says one who is free from mental speculation and works for Krishna. Okay. And he says it. He certainly reaches Krishna.
Beautiful. Nice one. Akurnath.
There's the famous definition of Uttama Bhakti. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushudanam bhakti rutamam. From Bhakti Rasamrita
Sutra. It means?
So it means that Uttama Bhakti is completely free from it's completely free from mental speculation, from desire for jnana and from karma, fruit of activities, desire for the fruits of activities. It's completely free from anything else. Anyabhilashita shunyam, devoid of any other desire, any other interest. And it's its service to Krishna favorably. I think that's about it.
I think it's an excellent citation. I'm thinking of another one, which is a famous verse. You'll find it sprinkled throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was quoted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, even in the discussion between he and Venkatabhata about how to attain Krishna. And it's Nayam Sukhapo Bhagavan Gyaninam Gopikasuta Gyaninam Chatmabhutanam Yata Bhakti Matamiha. I think I misquoted it. Nayam Sukapu Bhagavan. Dehinam Gopika Sutta Gyaninam Chatma Bhutanam. Yata Bhakti Matamiha. Did you find it?
Yes.
The Nayam Sukapu Bhagavan verse is on page what? 253 in your shloka book if you're keeping score at home. And if you're not, you don't have a shloka book, please write us or call us. We'll make sure that you get everything for your home participation. So 253, and the translation is?
The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service. But he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self.
We talked about this earlier. According to our approach, we'll realize Krishna in various ways. He's revealing his personal form. It's not that he's not revealing himself. Someone says, can you show me God? And he said, do you have the means to see him? Do you have the eyes to see him? And it's the process is required. One must take shelter of a pure devotee. One must give up the process of mental speculation and engage in the Lord's service favorably. And in that way, Krishna will reveal himself to the sincere devotee. In fact, he becomes conquered by those who take this process wholeheartedly. Here we are continuing in the Brahma Samhita. We just discussed text 58. Krishna, I usurped your place in line, so go ahead with 59 and 60.
The highest devotion is attained by slow degrees by the method of constant endeavor for self-realization with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice.
What's the word for constant in this verse?
Nirantaram.
So your devotional service has to be nirantaram. Okay, go ahead.
Three preliminary practices.
These preliminary
practices of devotion, sadhana, bhakti, are conducive to the realization of loving devotion, than whom there is no superior well-being, who goes hand in hand with the attainment of the exclusive state of supreme bliss, and who can lead to myself.
Last two verses.
Abandoning all meritorious performances, serve me with faith. The realization will correspond to the nature of one's faith. The people of the world act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. By meditating on me, by means of those deeds, one will obtain devotion characterized by love in the shape of supreme service.
What a powerful verse, actually. There's like two in one here. There are two concepts. One is that the realization of Krishna will correspond according to one's faith. So where else is that concept mentioned in from our acharyas? Does anybody know? A verse that starts off with Adau Shraddha. Adau Shraddha Tata Sadhusanga Tabhajana Kriya Tato Narta Niviti Satato. You know the verse? Satato Nishta Ruchi Satata. You can look it up. It's in your... This is an important verse that this mentions. This verse is talked about by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his Madhurya Kadambani about the thickening of faith. As our faith, yadrishi, yadrishi, shraddha, siddhir, bhavati, tadrishi. As our faith increases, we become more and more perfect. Right? Where in the Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say that a person is made of faith? A person is their faith. If you meet somebody and you ask them, where are you at? They'll start telling you about their faith, right? Because doesn't everyone have some faith? Aren't they made of their faith? And Gurunath Prabhu says it's in the 17th chapter that Krishna says this. And for 25 points, what is the phrase? And where is it in the 17th chapter? Go ahead.
73. Satvanu rupa sarvasya shraddha bhavati bharata shraddha mayo yang purusho yoyach shraddha sa eva saha. O son of Bharata, According to one's existence under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes he has acquired.
And in that shloka, what is the words that says, in essence, that a person is his faith?
Shraddhamayo yang purusha.
So a person is made of their faith. Mm-hmm. So, and he says in this verse that according to our association with the modes of material nature, we develop a certain kind of faith that's in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance. But if you want to develop pure faith and that in Krishna, and it thickens, actually, there are various stages of that faith were are described in this verse, Adau Shraddha Tata Sarasangata Bhajana Kriya Tato Nartya Niviti Syat Tato Nishta Ruchis Tata, and so on. It's the thickening of the faith in Krishna. And as one becomes more and more free from the influence of the three modes of material nature, then the natural faith that one has, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chite Karya Udoi. It's naturally there within the heart, but as one becomes purified by the process of Shravanam Kirtanam, then that natural loving tendency comes out, right? So this verse, Dharman Anyan Parijaja, meritorious performances, all kinds of things, don't miss the great cause for all the good causes. Something like you quoted earlier. But there are many good causes in the world, meritorious performances, right? Meritorious means they're good. In fact, there's a cigarette called merit. Did you know that? I don't know if it's still around anymore, but it came out in the 70s. Merit cigarettes. Like, oh, that's interesting. There's real merit to this cigarette. This is knowledge in the mode of ignorance. Faith in the mode of ignorance. Merit cigarette. A lot of merit in this. So abandon all meritorious cigarettes and other causes and simply surrender to me. Dharman anyan means other things that are so-called meritorious in this world. Prityaja, abandon them. Mam ekam, me alone, bhaja vishvasan, with faith, serve me alone. Then yadrishi adrishi, just as shraddha siddhi bhavati. So corresponding to how much you do that, your faith increases and you're attaining perfection. As your faith manifests by giving up everything except for serving Krishna. Then, second verse says, Kurvan nirantaram karma, that everyone's performing some kind of work, you can't stop working. But if you connect that work to Krishna, then you will be able to obtain devotional service. That's practical, isn't it? Because people can't stop doing what they're doing. You can't tell them to stop. And also, it's hard for people to immediately take to the direct process of devotional service, pure bhakti. But here, if we teach people to connect whatever work they're doing to Krishna consciousness, then gradually they'll come to the perfect stage. Right? Okay. And we're on to last one. Who's reading?
Listen, O Vidhi, I am the seed. That is the fundamental principle of this world of animate and inanimate objects. I am Pradhan, the substance of matter. I am Prakriti, material cause. And I am Purusha, efficient cause. This fiery energy that belongs especially to the Brahman, that inheres in you, has also been conferred by me. It is by bearing this fiery energy that you regulate this phenomenal world of animate and inanimate objects.
I believe it's pronounced fiery. If I'm not mistaken, it's fiery energy. It looks like fury, but it's fiery energy. Okay? So we've completed the translations for the Sri Brahma Samhita. Any comments? You had another definition? Or are you going to look up fiery? Yeah, please do. And also, I'm going to read a section here. about Siddhanta, because we had spoken about Siddhanta. This is a very important discussion that takes place in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Kaviraj Goswami says, although the three Purushas are the shelter of the universes, Lord Krishna is the original source of the Purushas. Everyone still with me? Everyone okay? All right. Thus, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is the original primeval Lord, the source of all other expansions, all the revealed scriptures except Sri Krishna as the Supreme Lord. Then he quotes, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sakchirananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Text 108. You know all the conclusions of the scriptures very well. You create these logical arguments just to agitate me. Purport, a learned man who has thoroughly studied the scriptures cannot hesitate to accept Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If such a man argues about this matter, certainly he must be doing so to agitate the minds of his opponents. Text 109. The same Lord Krishna, the fountainhead of all incarnations, is known as the son of the king of Raja. He has descended personally as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Absolute Truth. To call him Chirdakshai Vishnu does not add to his glory. But such words from the lips of a sincere devotee cannot be false. All possibilities abide in him, for he is the primeval Lord. All other incarnations are situated in potential form in the original body of the primeval Lord. Thus, according to one's opinion, one may address him as one of the incarnations. Purport, it is not contradictory for a devotee to call the Supreme Lord by any one of the various names of his plenary expansions, because the original personality of Godhead includes all categories. Since the plenary expansions exist within the original person, one may call him by any of these names. In Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya 6.95, Lord Chaitanya says, I was lying asleep in the ocean of milk, but I was awakened by the call of Nara, Sri Advaita Prabhu. Here the Lord refers to his form as Chirdakshai Vishnu. Some say that Sri Krishna is directly Narayan, others say that he is directly Vaman. Some say that Krishna is the incarnation of Chirdakshai Vishnu. None of these statements is impossible. Each is as correct as the other. Purport, the Laghu Bhagavatamrita states, according to the intimate relationships between Sri Krishna, the primeval Lord, and his devotees, the Puranas describe him by various names. Sometimes he is called Narayan, sometimes Upendra, Vaman, the younger brother of Indra, king of heaven, and sometimes Chirdakshai Vishnu. Sometimes he is called the thousand-hooded Sheshanag, and sometimes the Lord of Vaikuntha. Some call him Hari, or the Narayan of the transcendental world. Everything is possible in Krishna, for he is the primeval Lord. I offer my obeisances under the feet of all who hear or read this discourse. Kindly hear with attention the conclusion of all these statements. Purport. Prostrating himself at the feet of his readers, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita entreats them in all humility to hear with rapt attention these conclusive arguments regarding the Absolute Truth. One should not fail to hear such arguments, for only by such knowledge can one perfectly know Krishna. Siddhanta bholiya chitta na kara alash. Iha hoite krishne lagi sudrid manash. That's Adi Lila 2:117. Please write it down in your Jet Ace. Do you all have a Jet Ace? This is the Jet Ace. I get these in Tokyo. There, he's got a Jet Ace. You should have a Jet Ace in your pocket and a pen. So you can write these things down. Siddhanta bholiya chitta na kara alash. Or an iPad, I see. Using the iPad, iPod, or the iPhone. A sincere student should not neglect the discussion of such conclusions, considering them controversial, for such discussions strengthen the mind. Thus one's mind becomes attached to Sri Krishna. So that there's a difference in levels of advancement in devotional service based on one's conclusive knowledge of the scriptures, isn't there? Is there? Does it matter? Somebody knows the Shastra and logic about how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and how he's not? In how advanced the person is in devotional service? Yes or no?
Yes.
Where does it say that? Microphone, please. The answer was yes, and now he's going to say where it was.
In the Upadeshamrita, there is an explanation of the three different... There is an explanation of the three different categories of devotional progression. In the initial stage, as a neophyte, we may not have complete knowledge of the scriptures, but we have faith. And
what kind of faith? As a neophyte?
It is
as a Kanishtha Adhikari, what is the nature of the faith of a beginner?
Kanishtha Adhikari? Changeable, pliable.
Called Komal Shraddha. It means Komal. Just like a little plant. If you're growing a little seedling and it pops up out of the soil, it can be gone in 5 seconds. A little too hot, a little too cold, or a snail comes and it's finished. Okay, Komal Shraddha. Go ahead.
In the second stage, as a Madhyam Adhikari, one has stronger faith, but even with the knowledge of the scriptures, he may not be able to defeat arguments of opposing theologies.
Okay.
And in the Uttamadhikari stage, one is expert in rendering devotional service, and he has complete knowledge of the scriptures.
And the faith?
The faith is unshakable.
So, in the neophyte stage, in the Kanishtha Adhikari, then there's weak faith and no knowledge of scripture. In the Madhyam stage, there's strong faith, but no knowledge of scripture. Well, not no knowledge of scripture, but insufficient knowledge of scripture, as you said, to present to somebody else or to defeat other kinds of arguments. And in the topmost platform, one has strong faith and also is expert in the scripture. Shastra Nipuna means that the person's a kind of shastric wizard. They know where everything is. They know how to find everything and how it all fits together. Shastra Nipuna is the... So it is important. And is somebody born like that? That you're just born and you know all the Shastra? Is that how it works? You either know or you don't. You're just self-effulgent when you're born. That you're either an Uttama Adhikari or you'll never be one? Is that how it works? Yes or no?
No.
Can you prove it? Use the microphone for the Brihat Madanga, please.
Shukadeva Goswami, from birth, he knew all the Shastras, right?
Right? Is that true or not?
You tell me.
Did he know all the Shastra?
Well,
why did he come back to hear from Vyasadeva then? He was liberated. He went away, and then the woodcutter went out and sang the verses, and he came running back and said, tell me more about this. In the same section of the Nectar of Instruction, there's another verse that talks about the Kanishtha Adhikari, and it says that the Kanishtha Adhikari is a person who starts off on the lowest level, but as he continues the process, he comes to the stage of an Uttama Adhikari. Kanishtha Adhikari moves to Uttama Adhikari how? By chanting Hare Krishna, by following the process, by studying the Shastra. So it's not that, you know, someone just remains in the Kanishtha platform. One must progress. And how do you do that? Pramanais tat saracharais tarabhyasair narantaram bodhayanatmanatmanam bhaktim utapyamam labet. So he makes uttama bhakti by taking help from the Shastra, from acting correctly according to the directions of the Shastra and the spiritual master, and by practice. And if you do that, you have the possibility and the probability that you'll rise to the Uttama Adhikari platform. Uttamam labet. You'll attain the highest position of bhakti yoga. You're not meant to stay down in the lower stages of bhakti. Yes.
Well, I think example is Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. He was in Mayavadi, and then when he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became Uttama Adhikari. Is that good way to put Prabhu, or is the correct in this context?
Good way to put. What are you trying to prove?
Yeah, this is like where he was a pure, like he was, he know the good knowledge, but it's not a transcendental level knowledge, very Mayavadi knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But after he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he realized that this is not correct, and he elevated to the Uttamadhikari level.
Yeah, he's transformed, definitely. You were going to say? Okay. Okay, so next verse says, Chaitanya Mahima Jani, E Shab Shidhante, Chitta Dridho Hoy Loge Mohima Gyan Hoite. By such conclusive studies, I know the glories of Lord Chaitanya. Only by knowing these glories, can one become strong and fixed in attachment to him. Purport, one can know the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only by reaching in knowledge a conclusive decision about Sri Krishna, strengthened by bona fide study of the conclusions of the acharyas. I like that. A conclusive decision, by reaching in knowledge a conclusive decision. When you reach in knowledge a conclusive decision, I've decided. Once you decide, everyone knows it, right? How do they know? You vote with your feet. Where is he? He's performing devotional service. He's reached a conclusive decision through knowledge that this is the goal of life. Otherwise, you'll go vote somewhere else with your feet. Where is he now? Who knows? Not performing devotional service because he hasn't reached a conclusive decision. So we reach this by our, in part, by our study of the Shastra. It's very important. Prabhupada said that we should discuss thoroughly threadbare. That means your books should look thoroughly used and threadbare as well. If you look at your books at home, you shouldn't take them out after 5 years and it makes that little popping sound like it's brand new when you first open the cover. Pop. Oh, you didn't read this, did you? Every single book, all the Bhagavatams and all the Chaitanya Charitamritas should be worn out. And, you know, the covers look like they're about to fall off. That's thoroughly threadbare. Yes. Akurinath Prabhu. Give him the Brihat Madanga.
It just reminded me that Gadadhar Pandit had a Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was you couldn't read it anymore because all of the he was crying so much when he read it that all of the pages were soaked with his tears and the ink was running or whatever.
Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't study at all because of that, because of crying so profusely. Gadadhar Pandit used to recite the Bhagavatam to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu constantly. And he recited the section of Dhruva Maharaj over 100 times and the section of Prahlad Maharaj over 100 times. Those were his two favorite sections in the Bhagavatam to hear constantly. Have you read the section of Dhruva Maharaj 100 times yet? Anybody here in this room? Have you read the section of Prahlad Maharaj 100 times? We've done it a few times here at ISV all the way through. So if we can live to be 100 years and we continue on the process we're doing, you know, you'll be 5 years older in 5 years anyway. And if you lock into this, Nirantaram Bhakti means you always have a schedule for your bhakti. There's another holy day coming up where you're preparing, reading for this, where you're doing your chapter of Bhagavad Gita day, you're chanting your prescribed number of rounds every day. You're observing these festivals, then you grow up in Krishna consciousness by this process. And Prabhupada says in another verse that you should become like a professor. Like, you know how professors get together and they sit in their big armchair and then they talk about philosophical theories until, you know, everyone else goes home? He says, that's how we should discuss. Also, you should sit down and discuss, pull out all the books, bring up controversial topics, bring up all kinds of things and discuss it thoroughly threadbare until you come to Siddhanta. Siddhanta bulya chitta nakara alash. Alash means lazy. Don't be lazy and just say, well, it doesn't matter. Krishna's Supreme Personality, people don't believe it. They can all just go to hell. You know, this is the Kanishta idea that... you don't back it up. You don't have a faith in Shastra and you don't have a clear idea of Shastra. So get a clear idea. The books are all there for that reason. If you just thoroughly study Bhagavad Gita, you should carry a Bhagavad Gita with you wherever you go. You should wake up with the Bhagavad Gita. You should go to sleep with the Bhagavad Gita. You know, throughout the day, every day, your mind, intellect, soul should touch the Bhagavad Gita. And it's our foundational point. There's so much in the Gita. Anyone who goes deep within the Bhagavad Gita and learns the whole thing and then, you know, meditates on these verses will be supported personally by Krishna in their devotional service. And they'll have unshakable devotional service because of Krishna's support. And then entering within the Bhagavatam becomes a relishable activity, understanding the nuance of devotional service through the Srimad Bhagavatam, going through the categories through the 10th canto, one can become a completely perfect and self-realized soul by this process. So we should take it. So today we've heard from the Sri Ishapana, from the Sri Brahma Samhita, which is revealed knowledge coming down from the spiritual world. And we talked about how Krishna is revealing his personal form. It's just, I see it to the degree that I'm following the process to see it. He's here. He's in the heart. He's manifested himself personally as Shyamasundara right here in San Jose. That's big news in and of itself. If people actually knew God was here, they would put down their newspapers and come over here and come to see him. When we wrote an article about Lord Nrsingadev recently, several devotees worked on it. I helped to edit it at the end. And after I did it, and I was remembering this deity of Lakshmi Nrsingadev, how he came here, who he was, what his pastimes are and everything, I had more attraction for the deity. Why? Because I took the time to study about this particular deity and about Lord Nrsingadev and to think about him. And then afterwards, I had my relationship deepened with the deity. So when we go out to distribute knowledge, you know, when people read a book or they hear about Krishna somehow, then they'll become attracted gradually. And that way, they'll be diverted from all the other kinds of information in the material world, and they'll come back home, back to Godhead. We ourselves must be fully divert our attention, our mind, our heart towards the spiritual world so that we can go back home, back to Godhead. Yanti deva, rita devan, pitrin yantri patir bhuta, bhutani yanti bhuteja, yanti mam yajinopi mam. So Krishna says, you get what you aim for. So aim your consciousness, your intelligence directly towards Krishna in a very precise way and have, what was it? A studied, conclusive decision. Isn't it? If you study and you come to a conclusive decision, Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, then you can give your full energy and your mind becomes fixed in devotional service. Otherwise not. Otherwise, there'll be so many other ideas. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? If your mind isn't fixed in devotional service, where will it be fixed? On everything else, right? Bahushaka hyanantascha. It'll be many branched, like whatever anybody brings up. That's a good idea. That's a good idea too. Let's try that. But if you're fixed in devotional service, then your mind is one-pointed. Your intelligence is one-pointed. If you have a sayatmika abud here, ekeha kunanandana. Ekeha means one-pointed. Bahushaka hyananta. Hi ananta. It's unlimited how many branches that you can move into if you're not one-pointed. And you become one-pointed through siddhanta. I probably made that point a few times this morning, right? Okay. What point did I make?
Become one-pointed through
knowing the siddhanta.